What is up, everybody? Welcome to a new Phillies Today, right here with Francisco Rojas, Sports Radio 94 WIP, a Phillies 24/7 production. And there is much to talk about on today's show. We have the winter meetings ending, which means there is a lot to talk about with the Philadelphia Phillies. And I'm going to tell you, not feeling great after the winter meetings conclusion. So this show really all about the winter meetings. A lot to touch on as far as my takeaways from the last 3 days. Things to note. We'll talk there. I mean, again, there was a lot to talk about from this winter meetings. We'll get to around MLB. There was a lot that has happened since the Juan Soto deal. Some trades, some big deals. We'll get into all of those. And that's pretty much it. There's a lot. I mean, I'm not pretty much it. There's a lot that happened. A lot that happened over the last 72 hours. So, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm not going to say I'm like panicking that the Phillies are not going to do anything this offseason. I'm definitely not panicking. But what they have done to start, or the lack of what they've done to start this offseason, you know, and you knew that things weren't really going to get going with, or once the Juan Soto deal finally was finalized, which it was with the New York Mets recently. But I figured, I don't know what I figured. I just feel like that what has transpired over the last 3 days at the winter meetings, I'm not feeling good about what Dave Dombrowski and the front office is going to do this offseason. I really don't think they're going to do much. There's a couple of things to start here. Dave Dombrowski and the comments that he made. And this is in a recent article from Matt Gelb. This is a quote from Dombrowski in regards to the winter meetings. I wish we would have maybe done a little more, but it's not done either. The meetings are done, but the conversations we had, it doesn't mean they're over. We had a couple of conversations going that were quite heavy, and the potential deals didn't happen. And then all of a sudden it's, well, what about this one? Hold on, let's just take a step back. We don't have to force anything. Let's just wait and let's see what happens. Honestly, in many cases, I'm about patience. I try to be a little more patient than most sports fans, baseball fans alike. I try to be as patient as possible. But what has happened the last couple of years where you lose to the Diamondbacks, and you lose to the New York Mets in the NLDS, a team you should have beat. Both these series you should have won. You need to act like the house is on fire, just like John Middleton said a little over a month ago now. And these are not the type of things that I want to hear from Dave Dombrowski, that he just wants to wait and see what happens. It better be worth it. If you're going to wait and see what happens, you better be getting creative here. You better be, because this is not what I want to hear from Dave Dombrowski. Rob Thompson, I know that Topper is supposed to kind of say what he says. You know, what he's supposed to say. And we'll get to the Alec Boehm audio in a couple of minutes. You might have already heard it, but I'll play it for you just to let you know what Rob Thompson said about Alec Boehm in regards to them potentially shopping him. But Rob Thompson even said, like, oh, we have a championship roster as is. And I get that because he wants to put confidence in his guys. But these are not the type of things that I want to hear, the fans want to hear right now, about a team that needs to act like, my gosh, the last 2 years shouldn't have happened. We've had chances, but we need to go in with this core. We need to go in with this core. It's not like Dave Dombrowski to be patient like this. I don't like it. This is not good. Not a good start. Okay? You try to take things day by day. I try to be patient, but this is not a good start. I will say it is a good start with Jordan Romano, though. It is a good start. I like him as a potential guy that, coming off of injury, you know, prior to injury, was one of the better relievers in baseball. 95 saves over three seasons. He was good. He was a good reliever for Toronto from 2021 to 2023. So I liked him taking a chance on Romano. But they need to do more than this. I mean, you got to go out and get another reliever. You got to get creative in the trade market or free agency. I don't see them out there as a name that's in the finalist for Alex Bregman. Things can change. We all know that. But this is not what I am looking for from the Philadelphia Phillies to start so far. And you might say, oh, well, you need to relax. Like, I'm not going to relax after what happened the last couple of years. 2023 was, okay, well, I feel like this team can come back and win. No, now it's like, no, this team needs to, we need to see something happen this offseason so we can feel like at least a little optimism that this year might, 2025 might be different. Now let's get to what Rob Thompson had to say about Alec Bohm. I don't think Bohm is going anywhere. I'm going to say this. I don't think Alec Bohm is going anywhere, but I think for the right trade, they move in though. But here was Rob Thompson and what he had to say regards to the Phillies potentially trying to trade Alec Bohm.
Certainly, you've had a lot of talent on that team, the Kyle Schwarbers, the Trey Turners, the Bryce Harpers. When you look at someone like Alec Bohm, Topper, how would you evaluate his game?
Geez, he's really improved so much. You know, this is, and I know the rumors are flying all over the place. We're not shopping him, but people are approaching us on him, so you got to listen. But this guy has improved so much, not just physically, but mentally over the course of the year, the 3-4 years he's been in the big leagues. Bobby Dickerson, who Buck knows very well, has done an unbelievable job with Alec, getting be better defensively. Throwing accuracy, glove action. He's really a good hitter because he does the things that I was talking about not chasing. He does get good pitches to hit. He uses the entire field. He makes contact. That's why he's so good hitting behind Harper, because he's going to put the ball in play with runners in scoring position. He's not going to strike out. You can pretty much book an RBI if Alec is at the plate with less than two outs and runner in scoring position.
So, yeah, this is what I would expect Rob Thompson to say. At this point, I would expect Thompson to say, oh, we're not shopping Bohm. And that might be true. Right now, they might not be shopping Bohm. But you better know that they were before this. It's not like Thompson's supposed to say what he's supposed to say as the manager of this team. But Alec Bohm was 100% being shopped. All these trade rumors started with Passan, I think, like 3-4 weeks ago, saying that Bohm was on the trade block. Of course they were trying to shop him. They just realized that, oh, I guess his value isn't as high as we thought it was. That's what this is really about. Trying to get Logan Gilbert or George Kirby straight up for Alec Bohm? No. The value for Alec Bohm was not as high as that they thought it was. The Dombrowski, the rest of the front office, that is really what it was. I will say this, though. Our Ruben Amaro, right here at WIP, was on MLB Network yesterday and proposed this trade for somebody that I would love to have for the Philadelphia Phillies. Take a listen to who Ruben Amaro put in a trade package with. He put Alec Bohm in a trade package for a superstar that could be traded this offseason.
Kyle Tucker. Give me an A-plus Kyle Tucker trade.
Love this guy from the beginning. I saw him in Plant High School. This guy is an elite player. Left-handed bat,
fantastic. I think the Phillies would love to have this at bat, and I got to believe that they would have to give up a lot for him, and it would be Alec Bohm, Nick Castellanos, and either Mick Abel, who's an outstanding right-handed pitcher, or Starlin Cabo, who's got a tremendous ceiling as far as a shortstop is concerned, and they would then get Kyle Tucker and Ryan Pressly to add to that bullpen. I love Kyle. I think he gives them a whole different dynamic. They need more bullpen help. I think this is a solid trade for both teams.
Kyle Tucker? Are you kidding me? And this would be perfect. Kyle Tucker and Ryan Pressly. You put Kyle Tucker in the outfield. Right there out in the outfield, and he'd be perfect smack dab middle of this lineup. The only problem with this trade is that why would the Astros want Nick Castellanos? I understand why they might want Alec Bohm. It would make sense because they're probably going to lose Bregman, at least according to the latest reports. They're going to lose Alex Bregman. You would get a prospect or two in return. I think it would take more than Mick Abel or Starlin Cabo. They would take both of them. But, I would love this type of trade. Yeah, so I think in this type of trade, they would move Alec Bohm, of course. But I doubt the Phillies would take this type of trade. The Astros would. Of course the Phillies would. Are you kidding me? If Dave Dombrowski, fire Dave Dombrowski if they were offered this type of trade and they didn't take it. But this is what I'm talking about. It's this type of, and to a certain extent, creativity. Look, I am all for extending windows while trying to win now. I don't want to, give up the entire farm system, but I'm willing to give up some of the farm system, some of the big guys, whether it's Crawford, Miller, a couple of these guys. I don't want to trade away all of them. Just a couple. For somebody like a Kyle Tucker, of course. There's a way to retain while trying to win now. Retain for the future, trying to win now. There is a way. There is a way. Last thing here, last takeaway from the winter meetings. Not upset they didn't get Garrett Crochet. Not upset because you know why? At the end of the day, Garrett Crochet goes to the Red Sox, by the way. Crochet goes to the Red Sox for four prospects from the Boston Red Sox. Not upset they didn't get Crochet because I want Dave Dombrowski and this front office to get creative with the offense and adding another bullpen arm. That's what I'm really concerned about. I'm not concerned about trying to add another starting pitcher to have just maybe the best rotation of all time. That's not what I'm concerned with. I'm more concerned with trying to get creative, add bullpen arms. That's what I want. Get creative with the offense, add some bullpen arms, focus on free agency, outside of the rotation. I'm not, the fifth starter I do think is something they need to address to a certain extent, but I'm not so worried about that. Let's worry about the offense. That is the main concern. That is what has killed you the last couple of postseasons. So not super upset that they did not get Garrett Crochet. Okay, things to note from the winter meetings, other things outside of these takeaways that I have just mentioned. Phillies in the Rule 5 draft, they selected right-handed pitcher Mike Vassell with the 14th pick. He was originally the 18th on the Mets' top 30 prospects list. He kind of had a bad year in AAA, so Phillies are going to see if they can try to get something out of Mike Vassell, whom they selected with the 14th pick. Minnesota Twins, they selected Eberson Castellano with the 9th pick from the Phillies, and he was the breakout prospect pitcher of the year, and he won the Paul Owens Award last year. So we'll see what, hopefully, Phillies left this guy unprotected, and they take a risk here, and Minnesota is going to see what they can get out of this kid after this kid had a big breakout year in the Phillies minor league system. So also in other phases of the Rule 5 draft. There was a minor league phase. Round 1, they selected Eduardo Lopez with the 27th pick. In round 2, they selected Meja, a right-handed pitcher, the Rays AA. In the second round, third round, they selected Augusto Calderon, right-handed pitcher from the Cardinals, single A. Round 4, they selected Elio Prado, outfielder from the Orioles, high A, with the 64th pick. And round 5, the Phillies did have the last pick. Oh, and round 6, too. Gabriel Barbosa, right-handed pitcher from the Yankees, a single A. And then round 6, Isaias Dupre, infielder from the Pirates, DSL in the round 6, that 68th pick. So there you go. That's what the Phillies did in the Rule 5 draft. A couple of other things. Nolan Arenado, he put the Phillies on his wish list if he was to be traded from the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't want Nolan Arenado. The regression from Arenado the last couple of years, especially last year, it's looking like it's not going to be. Looks like Arenado's going in the wrong direction. The other side of 30 looks like it's going in the wrong direction. I'd rather have Alec Boehm than Nolan Arenado. I'm not saying that as a shot at Boehm, but I mean Arenado is one of the all-time third basemen, or at least on track to be. So don't want Arenado. I would rather have Boehm. Other teams on his wish list: Dodgers, Padres, Angels, Mets, and Red Sox. Phillies, there is some interest in the Phillies and Roki Sasaki, the 23-year-old phenom from Japan. But I still doubt the Phillies would actually get Roki Sasaki. Sounds like the Dodgers and the Padres are perceived to be the favorites. I just don't. Do the Dodgers have room? Like, they signed Snell, and they have all these guys. Now they have Ohtani coming back to pitch. Like, I don't know how they have room. But if they were to get Sasaki, I guess it's not a bad problem to have. I just don't understand what. I could see him going to the Padres, Mariners, someone like that. I don't know. Like, the Dodgers are not the top of the. But maybe they would. I mean, that'd just be insane if they did. So Dodgers and Padres proceed to be favorites. But there is some interest from the Phillies. So keep an eye out for that, I guess. Around Major League Baseball, like I had mentioned before, the Mets and Juan Soto finalized their record-setting deal. It is now inked and finalized. 15 years, $765 million for Juan Soto. He is a New York Met now, officially. Couple of trades. Big one that I didn't see coming. Blue Jays trade for Andreas Giménez. Guardians acquired infielder Spencer Horowitz from the Blue Jays in the deal, but then they traded him to the Pirates later on Tuesday in exchange for right-hander Luis Ortiz and left-handers Michael Kennedy and Josh Hartle. So, but Giménez, big one, did not see coming, but that's the beauty of the offseason and hot stove in MLB. Andreas Giménez goes to Toronto. The Rangers traded for Jake Berger. Berger's got some power. Berger's got a lot of power. There's a short, stocky third baseman. He was traded to the Marlins. Marlins, in return, received two shortstop prospects. Echedri Vargas, I think that's how you say his name. I apologize if I'm getting that wrong. I probably am. Apologize. And Max Acosta, and a young left-handed starter in Brian Mendoza. So, but the Rangers acquired Jake Berger, and I guess they're just trying to stockpile that farm system. So Rangers acquire Jake Berger. A couple of other things to note. Yankees sign Max Fried, 8 years, $218 million. He is out of the NL East. He is no longer an Atlanta Brave. He was a free agent, and he signs a big deal with the New York Yankees. The Yankees trying to see what they can do post Juan Soto after they offered him 16 years, 760, but he rejected that for the Mets offer. Last thing, some rumors here. Corbin Burns. Looks like the front runners for Burns. Looks like the biggest one's the Blue Jays. Thought that John Heyman mentioned the San Francisco Giants. So Seems like it's the Blue Jays and the Giants, at least according to Heyman. I think Mark Fison might have said the Giants as well. I apologize if I got that wrong. But I think Heyman said both the Blue Jays and the Giants. Blue Jays have kind of struck out on Ohtani and Soto this year, so they're trying to at least get something done. So Corbin Burns to the Blue Jays, potentially. So that is a possibility. Mike Schmidt, Michael Jack Schmidt, the documentary is airing 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight on MLB Network. Looking forward to that. Can't wait to watch it. I don't know if I'll be able to watch it tonight, to be honest, but I'm sure there'll be a way to watch it for me afterwards. So I'm definitely looking forward to watching the Michael Jack Schmidt documentary. That's going to debut 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time tonight on MLB Network. So looking forward to the Mike Schmidt doc. Happy birthday, Christopher Sanchez. 28 years old today. And boy, thank goodness we signed him to that extension. I'm excited to see what Sanchez is going to do in pinstripes. Had a big breakout year for the Phils, 3.32 ERA in 181 and two-thirds innings pitched, 153 strikeouts, finished 10th in Cy Young Award voting, made his first All-Star team, and that changeup is just a pleasure to watch. I am so fortunate I was able to watch 31 outings from Christopher Sanchez this year, and I was able to watch that changeup every single time. So happy birthday, Christopher Sanchez. So that is going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Appreciate every single one of you for tuning in. Let me know what your thoughts are on all this. Are you upset that the Phillies didn't get Garrett Crochet? Do you feel like there's a chance that they could have gotten Garrett Crochet? Do you think he would have been worth it? It sounds like they would have needed to put Andrew Painter in a deal. It doesn't look like, I think they weren't really willing to put Andrew Painter in a deal. He was the untouchable, at least back at the trade deadline when they had talks for Garrett Crochet. Part of you upset they didn't get Crochet? What do you think about the Jordan Romano deal? 1 year, $8.5 million. Do you like them taking on a chance on a guy who was one of the better relievers in Major League Baseball before last year when he got hurt and had to have elbow surgery? So what are your thoughts on Jordan Romano? Give me all your thoughts. You can tweet me at Rojas_media_. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll talk to you guys soon.